ओम ज्ञान तिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं मुस्तापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकम् वन्देहं श्रीगुरो श्रीयुतपदकमलं श्रीगुरुन् वैष्णवांश श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगणरुग्णाप्तान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिकान्त राधाकान्त नमोऽस्तु ते तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवि प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वाञ्छाकपतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे I have been requested by a prominent member of the temple board of this temple to speak on the topic of how Krishna eats. So before speaking on the Vedic literatures, I've done my homework. I have found my quotations. So I would ask everyone to repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Bolo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So first thing we should understand that God is a person. He is not senseless. The impersonalists, the Mayavadis, try to tell us that God has no senses. But that is completely refuted in the pages of such books as Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. One of Krishna's innumerable names, Rishikesha, the master of the senses. How can the master of the senses himself have no senses? That's not even logical. You look at the altar. Is that just an image? Or is that directly Bhagavan himself? Directly. Sakshad. You see, he has eyes, he has hands, he has legs, he has lips, he plays the flute. How can he play a flute if he doesn't have senses? How can Radharani and the gopis hanker after the spittoon that Krishna emanates when he is kissing them? They exchange betel nuts. Mouth to mouth. That means God is a person. The difference is his senses are not like our senses. That is the difference. We also have senses. We have 5 knowledge acquiring senses. We have 5 executive or working senses. Then we have the mind. which is the sense within. Our senses are material, limited. Krishna's senses are unlimited. And not only that, they're interchangeable. Just as, how does the creation take place? Krishna, in his form as Mahavishnu, glances at the material energy. That glance takes the form of Shambhu. Shambhu has sex with Goddess Durga, and all the living entities are placed within material nature, all caused by the glance of Mahavishnu. All of you who have had children, you didn't glance at your wife and she became pregnant. No. It was a much different process. Our senses are not interchangeable. Krishna's senses are interchangeable. One sense can do the function of any other sense. He is adhoksaja. He is beyond the range of the material mind and senses to speculate about. But the main point to understand is that he has senses. I am now going to recite some key verses from the Vedic literatures to substantiate my point that God eats. If you're ready to proceed, please repeat after me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I was first approached on this topic 2-3 months ago. And the first verse that came to my mind is the famous verse from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is spoken by God Himself, Sri Krishna. Patrang pushpang phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachchati tad ahang bhakti uparitam ashnami. That's the key word. Ashnami prayatatmanaha. In this famous verse from Bhagavad Gita, the word bhakti appears twice. Krishna eats, but he's not hungry. Even if he is hungry, he has the best cook, either Mother Yashoda or Srimati Radharani. He doesn't need us to cook for him. But he is hungry for this word, bhakti, your love and devotion. That's why he says here, you can offer me with love and devotion, even a leaf. Those who know which is the best leaf to offer to Krishna, tulsi. If you're able to offer Krishna one tulsi leaf, your life is success. So you can offer Krishna a leaf, a flower, fruit, or if you're so poor, just water. See how simple it is to please Krishna. Our God is not a demanding God. He makes it very simple. You can satisfy Him simply with a leaf, a flower, fruit, or water. And then He says, Ashnami. I will accept it. Later on, this same word, Ashnami, is translated differently. I eat. Yes. So this very word, Ashnami, is the first reference. Ashnami is in the first person. I. Krishna is speaking. I eat. I accept whatever you offer me, but in love and devotion. That is what he will eat. As soon as Gadadharji is ringing the bell and saying the appropriate prayers, Krishna is called to eat. He is listening to the prayers of the pujari as he offers the bhog. Also, the person who cooked, did they have love and devotion for Krishna when they cooked? Very important item. Krishna hears, and that hearing is non-different from his seeing, non-different from his actually eating. Because, as I said, his senses are interchangeable. That is evidence number one. The theme is, does God eat? Now we go to Srimad Bhagavatam. In Srimad Bhagavatam, there is the famous katha, Lord Rishabhadev. Lord Rishabhadev is God, Vasudev. That is directly stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Shukadeva Goswami. Lord Rishabhadev is God, Vasudev. There is the sentence in the Bhagavad Gita, Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Everything you see is God's property. So Rishabhadev had 100 sons. His topmost son, of whom this planet is named after, Bharat, Bharatavarsha. He was speaking to his 100 sons. He was giving them instructions. In one of his instructions, he said, as far as I am concerned, no one is equal or superior to the Brahmanas in this world. I do not find anyone comparable to them. When people know my motive, after performing rituals according to the Vedic principles, they offer food to me with faith and love. Notice, same concept. Consistency. When people, as it says right here, when people know my motive, they offer food to me with faith and love. Now here's the key line. Through the mouth of a Brahmana. I think I should repeat that. When people know my motive, they offer food to me with faith and love through the mouth of a Brahmana. When food is thus offered unto me, I eat it. Again, that miraculous word appears. Ashnami. In the Sanskrit shloka that I'm reciting, again that word appears, ashnami. And this time it is translated as I eat. I eat it with full satisfaction. Purna santosha. Don't you say that? You have that prasad prayer, and I hear you all the time say, purna santosha. Full satisfaction. Indeed, I derive more pleasure from food offered in that way than from the food offered in the sacrificial fire. Yes, when we do the homa, when we do the yajna, that sacrificial fire represents the mouth of Vishnu. What do we pour into the fire? Ghee? Notice what God likes to eat. Ghee, not peanut butter. Ghee, not margarine, not dalda. Ghee. And then what are we throwing in with the pujari, the purohit is pouring the ghee. What does the congregation throw? Grains, rice, or sesame. That fire pit represents the mouth of Vishnu. And therefore we chant, Swaha, everybody. Swaha, Swaha, Swaha. There again, who's eating? I'm not eating. You're not eating. Vishnu or God is eating. So here's another example how God eats. Here, Rishabhadev is saying, when you feed a real Brahmin, not caste, a Brahmin by qualification, that's the key element. A true Brahmin by qualification. He derives more satisfaction when you offer food to the mouth of a pure Brahmin than he does swaha. Now we go to the third. I got a lot. Again, my point. God eats. Where is Dr. Singhal? Is he here? Are you enjoying so far? You like? Thank you. This is from the Katha in the 10th canto that you all know better than me, Sudama. Since you were little children, you learned the story of Sudama. Perhaps it was one of the first stories grandma told you. The story of Sudama. Sri Bhagavanu Vacha Kimmu Payana Mani Tang Brahman Me Bhavata Grihat Anvap Yupari Tang Bhaktai Prena Bhuye Vame Bhavit Bhuyap Yabhakto Pashitang Name Toshaya Kalpate Patrang. Wait a second. Patrang Pushpam Palang Toyam Yome Bhaktya Prayachati Tarahang Bhakti Yupari Tang Ashnami Prayatat Manaha. The same Krishna that spoke Bhagavad Gita spoke the same verse to Sudama. What a coincidence. And that word comes again, Ashnami, I eat. So you all know the story of Sudama. He was so poor that when he came to see his friend Krishna, because they were childhood friends, in the school, the Gurukula of Sandipani Muni. But now it was much later. Krishna was grandfather Krishna. Krishna only had 16,108 wives. That's all. Drop in the bucket. And with each wife he had 10 sons and 1 daughter. Drop in the bucket. And each of those sons had 10 sons. Yadu Vangsha. Joint family. They were all living together. But each wife had her own palace. Because as you all know, two wives living under the same roof, won't work. So each wife had her own palace. And each wife had her own Krishna. Not that she had to wait 16,107 nights for Krishna to come back. Each night Krishna was with each wife. So Sudama was so poor that when his wife begged him to go see his friend Krishna, she had to go to a neighbor and beg rice. That's how poor they were. None of you are that poor that you have to go next door to your neighbor and get some rice. After all, this is America. And rice is not expensive, although that could change. If the political demons find out that we like rice, they may say, oh, let's jack up the price like we do with the oil. That's what demons do. They jack up the price when they find out you want something. And that rice that she borrowed was very inexpensive. Flat rice. The cheapest. Not fine basmati. No. Very inexpensive. Cheap. Chipped rice. So When Sudama came to see his friend Krishna, he entered Rukmini's palace. And Krishna came off his bed and sat Sudama on his bed. And when Sudama arrived, Rukmini was fanning Krishna. She now was fanning Sudama. So here's what, there was a conversation between Sudama and Krishna as Krishna reminisced about their childhood together in the Gurukula. But for the sake of today's presentation, this is what Krishna said. O Brahmana, what gift have you brought from me from home? I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. Same concept. That we've had three verses now, the consistent concept. It doesn't matter how big or small the gift is. The only thing God is looking for is our love. That's it. Whether you drive a Mercedes or a bicycle, it doesn't matter so long as you come to the temple. It doesn't matter you make $100,000 or $1. All Krishna is looking for is your love and devotion. There's no price tag on that. I regard as great even the smallest gift offered by my devotees in pure love. But even great offerings presented by non-devotees do not please me. So I may be very wealthy, famous, beautiful, but if I'm not a devotee of Krishna, he will not accept my offering. Because he wants our love, nothing else. And then, as we quoted, he repeated the same verse that's found in Bhagavad Gita. If one offers me with love and devotion a leaf, a flower, a fruit, or water, I will accept it. I will eat it. Ashnami. Then later on, in the Leela between Sudama and Krishna, Iti mushting sakrit jagdva. That's the key word. Jagdva. Vatiyang jagd mumadade. Tavat shir jagrihe hastang. Tat para parameshtinaha. So what happened was, after their conversation, Sudama was reluctant to present Krishna with the chipped rice. He felt embarrassed. He felt, how can I offer the Supreme Lord this cheap, inexpensive? He felt it was not worthy to present to Krishna. So Krishna snatched it. Krishna knew what Sudama had brought. Why? Because Krishna is in Sudama's heart. He knows what you're thinking right now. You better watch out. You better not pout. Krishna's in your heart. He knows everything. It's kind of scary. You cannot cheat Krishna. He knows exactly what we're doing at every second. You may think, I may think, I'm getting away with a fast one. Actually, the Bhagavatam says there are 13 witnesses to every action. 13. When you think about it, 13. If 13 witnesses come before a judge, he did it, he did it, he did it, you're not getting away. There are 13 witnesses to every action that we do. So nobody's getting away with anything. Sometimes, because I get this question from people, Prabhu, I go to temple, I do vratas, I give charity, but I'm barely making enough money to make men's meat. My neighbor, he drinks, he smokes, he gambles, and he's very wealthy. Maybe I should be like him. I get this question seriously from people. My neighbor doesn't go to temple. He's watching pornography on TV. Maybe I should be like him, then I'll be rich. So I told this, I was asked this once. So I said, yes, Krishna lets the demon go on for some time, but don't worry. At the time of death, the rap sheet comes out. And the whole list of sinful activities is there. Yamaraj is Krishna's representative. The rap sheet is there. On this day you did this, you did this, you did this, you did... Sentence? Go to hell. So nobody gets away with anything. Everybody's going to have their day. It's just a matter of... Look at Kamsa. Kamsa met his day. Hiranyakashipu had his day. Ravan had his day. So, be patient. Everybody will get the supreme justice. You don't have to worry about it. You don't get paid for that. That's not your job. Krishna has his assistants whose job it is to keep score. Who did right, who did wrong. So, when Krishna snatched the bundle, the handkerchief of Sudama, Krishna ate one morsel of the cheap chipped rice. But notice what is said here. After saying this, the Supreme Lord ate one palmful and was about to eat a second when the devoted goddess Rukmini took hold of his hand. She wouldn't let him have the second morsel. Why? Because Rukmini said, oh my God, if Krishna eats a second morsel, I'll have to become that Brahmin's servant. And she didn't want to leave Krishna. Besides, Rukmini was thinking, no, that cheap rice is not going to be good for Krishna's digestion. So she had various conflicting sentiments. In any event, he didn't eat the second palmful, although he was about to. Well, I'm going by Bhagavatam. And Bhagavatam is considered the topmost authority. So, I cannot say anything other than that's what it says in the Bhagavatam. But I thank you for bringing that to our attention, O illustrious President of the Board. Thank you. Perhaps I could do some research. But here it is. After saying this, the Supreme Lord ate one palmful and was about to eat a second when the devoted goddess Rukmini took hold of his hand. I'm not going to argue with Shukadeva Goswami. He knows more than me. I wasn't there. If I had been there at the time, maybe I could report to us. What? No. I have a lot to cover. I've been given an assignment. The main point is, Jagdva, he ate the rice. So he eats. It's very clear, Jagdva, eating. It's not an allegory. The event took place 5,000 years ago in your India. Sudama came to Krishna's palace in Dwarka. It's an historical event. Krishna has hands. It wasn't that Krishna was some kind of ghost. No, Krishna was there. Rukmini was there. Sudama was there. The event took place. He ate the first morsel. What it was, second or third, I'm not going to argue. And if it is second or third, that proves my point more. He's eating. That's the key. Now, That is my evidence as found in Srimad Bhagavatam. But now there is evidence in my favorite book, Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chandra Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. There is the story of Gopal. Madhavendra Puri had dreams. Three times he had dreams. Krishna appeared to him in dreams. And in the first dream, Krishna appeared to him and said that I was placed in the bushes and I've been waiting a long time for you to come and rescue me out of the bushes. This is Krishna in his deity form as Gopal, just like we have our deity form of Radharaman. So there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of deity forms of Krishna. So this deity form appeared to Madhavendra Puri in a dream and said, once the Muslims attacked the temple, the priest feared me being destroyed, so he hid me in the forest so that the Muslims would not break the deity. You know better than me what used to happen. So the deity said, I've been waiting a long time for someone to come and give me a bath. So the next morning, Madhavendra Puri woke up. He took a whole army of men, and exactly what Krishna said in the dream, there was the deity. So they did a mahasnan, they did a bathing ceremony, they did anakut, and Madhavendra Puri installed the deity of Sri Gopal. So when Krishna Das Kaviraj, the author, is telling the story, he says, although Sri Gopal ate everything offered, still by the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. Yes, because somebody is going to say, Prabhu, you say that Krishna eats, but I see the plate is still there. How do I know that Krishna ate? Because usually if you eat, the plate is empty, right? But anyone who's offered food to Krishna, you say the prayers, you come back 15, 20 minutes later, the food is still there. Ha! Notice what is said here. By the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. What does that mean? Krishna eats and puts it back. That's the kind of God I like. He eats the offering, and then he gives it back. Why? So that we can eat. He's not selfish. He wants to share with his devotees. So as it says here, although, and again, he uses the word ate. He ate everything offered. Because they were, when they did the anakut, the whole village was coming and offering pots of rice and mounds of chapatis and butter and ghee and milk products and yogurt. You know how anakut is. Big buckets and pots of things are brought. Stacks of chapatis. I'm getting hungry just talking about it. So as it says here, Sri Gopal ate everything. But by the touch of his transcendental hand, everything remained as before. It's a mystical process. It's not material. Still, Gopal ate everything while the food remained the same, was transcendentally perceived by Madhavendra Puri Goswami. So Madhavendra Puri is such a great exalted devotee that he can perceive how Krishna is eating and puts everything back. We're not on that platform. At least, I'm not. Maybe some of you are. But Madhavendra Puri was. He could perceive. Now, we come to one of my favorite sections. the way this research assignment was done, I'm building you up step by step, step by step. Let's check the internet and see how many people have come online. We have 20 devotees from around the world attending tonight's class. Let's all say Hari Bol. And they're from all over. We have somebody in Ecuador, Argentina, Los Angeles, Kolkata. So that's nice to have an international crowd. Radhe, Radhe. So this is a nice section in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which tells us more about the proof how Krishna eats. The offering of food known as Gopal Vallabha Bhog was then given to Lord Jagannath, and aarti was performed with the sound of the conch and the ringing of bells. So I guess our aarti is bona fide. Do we blow the conch here? Does the pujari ring a bell? We're doing it the same way as in Jagannath Puri. When the aarti was finished, the prasadam was taken out, and the servants of Lord Jagannath came to offer some to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The servants of Lord Jagannath first garlanded Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then offered him Lord Jagannath's prasadam. The prasadam was so nice that its aroma alone, to say nothing of its taste, would drive the mind mad. That's prasadam, folks. Just the smell of it would drive you mad. The prasadam was made of very valuable ingredients. Therefore, the servant wanted to feed Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu a portion of it. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tasted a portion of the prasadam. Govinda took the rest and bound it in the end of his wrapper. Govinda is Lord Chaitanya's personal secretary, not Govinda. His name was Govinda. To Lord Chaitanya, the prasadam tasted millions upon millions of times better than nectar, and thus he was fully satisfied. The hair all over his body stood on end, and incessant tears flowed from his eyes, just from eating prasadam. I have a glimpse of this. The first time I went to a Hare Krishna temple in 1973, someone gave me some Mahaprasad, some spinach. I ate that and I jumped up. Give me more! Give me more! It was so good. That's why I joined this movement. I joined this movement because that Mahaprasad spinach was so good. I said, there's no else place in New York I can get this food. And the devotee said, if you want more, you got to come back tomorrow. I said, I'm coming. That food was so delicious. I literally jumped up. I was sitting down like you are. You eat on the floor, right? In the temple. But I tasted that little, they just gave me a little palmful of shock. Okay? It tasted like nothing I ever had eaten in my life. I was like, oh my God, what is this? That is Mahaprasad. And that's why I'm still chanting Hare Krishna. I'm only chanting for the prasad. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu considered, where has such a taste in this prasadam come from? Certainly it has due to have been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips. Lord Chaitanya, what is he saying? He's saying certain things here. Lord Chaitanya is saying the reason why this prasadam tastes so good, it has been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips. That means Krishna actually ate the offering. Lord Jagannath is offered food how many times a day? 52 times a day. How many offerings we do, Gadadhar? In Jagannath Temple, he's offered 52 offerings. 52 times. Offerings. Each one is called an offering. 52 times in a day. I know, it's unbelievable. Those pujaris really work. That's why they have a whole team. It's not just one, don't think it's one guy. It's a team. Sri Sri Radha Raman Bhagavan Ki. It's teams of devotees. I'll tell you a story. When I went to Jagannath Puri, I was not allowed inside the temple. You know why. You are not Hindu. So I was staying behind the temple in one of the temple buildings. But the temple was nice. They arranged for me to get Jagannath Mahaprasad, Khichri. Very good Khichri. Very nice. So one of the gentlemen who was managing the temple, he sat next to me. He said, "Oh, you like the prasad?" I go, "Oh yes, I love this prasad." "Ah, Hanji." So he said, "You're from America, yes?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Can you get me green card?" So I said to him, "Oh yes, I can get you green card. But first you have to get me to see Jagannath." And that's when he stopped. Because he knows he can't get me inside to see Jagannath. In my next life, when I become your son, then I can enter Jagannath temple. So he could not get his green card. That's called a side kata. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So getting back to the point, Lord Chaitanya's point is, the reason why the Mahaprasadam tasted so good that his hair standed on end is Lord Chaitanya knows that Krishna actually eats. And when you eat, what has to happen? There has to be saliva. And God is a person. He has saliva. And when he eats, his saliva is now, if he eats the food and puts it back, the saliva is in the food. That's what makes Mahaprasadam. It's mixed with the secret ingredient. It's not rice, dal, chapatis, whatever. It has a secret ingredient, Krishna's saliva. And that's the secret ingredient of Mahaprasad. As it says right here, having been touched by the nectar of Krishna's lips. The gopis are envious of the flute of Krishna. You know why? Because the gopis look at the flute in Krishna's mouth and they see his lips are blowing in the holes of the flute and they say, "Hey, wait a second. Those lips belong to us. That flute is just a dead piece of wood. How come he's getting the nectar of Krishna's lips? That belongs to us." And sometimes the gopis steal Krishna's flute. And then Krishna approaches Radharani. "Where's my flute?" And then she passes the flute to another gopi. And then Krishna approaches, "No, I don't have it." She passes it. In this way, the flute is passed from gopi to gopi to gopi to gopi. And Krishna is approaching each. "Give me my flute. I need my flute." Krishna says that his flute is his only companion. Just like a sannyasi, his only companion is that danda. So for Krishna, his only companion is that flute. Finally, in the end, Tulsi arranges that Krishna gets his flute back. But that's after a long struggle. Understanding this, Lord Chaitanya felt an emotion of ecstatic love for Krishna. But upon seeing the servants of Lord Jagannath, he restrained himself. The Lord said again and again, "Only by great fortune May one come upai, a particle of the remnants of food offered to the Lord. The servants of Lord Jagannath Temple inquired, "What is the meaning of this?" Lord Chaitanya said, "These are remnants of food that Krishna has eaten and thus turned to nectar with his lips. It surpasses heavenly nectar. And even such demigods as Lord Brahma find it difficult to obtain. Remnants left by Krishna are called phala." Everyone say, phala. "Anyone who obtains even a small portion must be considered very fortunate." So I told you that story the first time. That was Mahaprasad when I visited the temple. So I consider myself very fortunate based on what we just read, that I was able to receive some Mahaprasad Govinde. "One who is only ordinarily fortunate cannot obtain such mercy. Only persons who have the full mercy of Krishna can receive such remnants." So if you come upon Mahaprasad, that's a sign that Krishna is blessing you. So many times in my career as a preacher, people have asked me, "Prabhu, how do I know that Krishna is blessing me?" Here's one instance. If you come across Mahaprasad, Lord Chaitanya says, you're getting Krishna's blessing. The word Sukriti refers to pious activities performed by the mercy of Krishna. One who is fortunate enough to obtain such mercy receives the remnants of the Lord's food and thus becomes glorious. So by accepting prasad, you become glorious. Just by accepting prasad. Therefore, there should be a big restaurant in Washington, D.C. Govinda's restaurant. So that all those rascal politicians can get some Mahaprasad. They surely need it. Especially now that they have this stupid sequester. They should stop talking and come here and eat prasad. Gadadhar can cook for all the Republicans. And Aruna can cook for all the Democrats. Make your famous cheesecake. Then they'll become devotees. After saying this, Lord Chaitanya bade farewell to all the servants. After seeing the next offering of food to Lord Jagannath, after all, there's 52 offerings. So one comes in, one comes out, one comes in. That's going on all day. Back and forth. Those pujaris are working hard. What to speak of the pot washers? They're working. A function known as Upala Bhog. Lord Chaitanya returned to his own quarters. After finishing his noon duties, Lord Chaitanya ate his lunch. But he constantly remembered the remnants of Krishna's food. Lord Chaitanya performed his external activities, but his mind was filled with ecstatic love. With great difficulty, he tried to restrain his mind, but it would always be overwhelmed by very deep ecstasy. So I'm running out of time, but I think I've made my point. So all in favor who agree that Krishna eats, raise your hand. All who say Krishna doesn't eat, raise your hand. So we all agree Krishna eats. So, Dr. Single, did I do my job? Thank you. Now I have to make one announcement. I have been told, on good authority, that the temple board has made a recent decision. That recent decision is that the monthly Namahat program, which is one this Saturday. We have an anonymous sponsor, but there's a Namahat program on this Saturday coming up, March the 9th. The program will start at 6 p.m. RT will be at 8 p.m. You all hear that? What time is RT on Saturday? I don't hear enough of you confirming it. Any dissension there? Is there any more emails that have to be sent? Is it confirmed? Is it confirmed, yes or no? It's confirmed. RT is at 8 o'clock. And yours truly will be conducting the program. You're all invited. We will chant. We will hear Krishna Katha. We'll have RT at 8 o'clock. And then, like we've been hearing all day, we will honor prasadam and Krishna will eat. Please repeat after me. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Hare. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Doha is by Nalini Trivedi. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaurava Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Hare Krishna Hare Krishna.